Amen. So thank you for showing up. And again, welcome to those online watching us. I've got a word that has been burning in my heart for actually a number of weeks. Last week, Pastor Rose talked about the importance of obedience, to be obedient to the Lord. And I think that was a great start to the new year. And in a sense, this isn't so much a follow-up, but another addition to that. And it really comes down to the idea that we need to have something other than obedience. And let me give you an example, and let me dive into this. How many people have baked a cake ever before, made cookies, or, you know, attempted to? Let's put it that way. That's me, all right? And so, you know, you go through, you find all the ingredients, right? You make sure you have them all. If you don't, you go to the store, you get them. Unless you're like me and you actually start doing it and then you realize you don't have something. I found out that doesn't good, all right? So you try to get everything in advance. So you got it all laid out. You got the recipe, right? And it's there and you start doing it and you're putting all the ingredients and everything. You're doing everything you think you're supposed to do, right? You put it in the oven at the right temperature. You're watching it like a hawk to make sure it isn't in there too long. And then you take it out, right? And you're really excited. Let's say it's cookies. And in the case of my example, it was cookies, all right? And they look perfect. They smell actually good and everything, but you go to take a bite and you realize, hold it, this doesn't taste quite right. It really shouldn't be a hockey puck. You know, I say it really shouldn't be that hard. But you still crunch into it thinking, well, maybe you left it in a little too long. So then you eat it and you realize, oh, it doesn't taste like it looks. You know, and you realize, well, what went wrong? So you go back and you look at the recipe, and in my case, I forget which way I did it, all right? It either requested baking soda or baking powder, and I did the other, all right? And it was just this little bit. It was like a teaspoon of this stuff, right? And I'm like, how could making this huge batch of cookies make such a difference with just that little teaspoon of the wrong ingredient? And that's really what I want to talk to you about today is making sure that we have all the ingredients we need in life. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're all half-baked, okay? I'm not saying that. But what I am suggesting is that if we're just missing one ingredient, it's not all going to come together right. All right? That's really what I want to talk about. And I want to talk about the ingredient that's called grit. Now, when I say grit, you know, when you say that person's a gritty person, you might actually think in your head they're abrasive, right? You know, in fact, when you buy sandpaper at the store, you buy different grit sandpaper. You know, the higher the number, the finer the sandpaper. So 220 grit is super fine, but a 60 grit is super coarse. And so I'm not talking about that kind of grittiness when, you know, a person's abrasive, but grit is something else. And let me just read a definition and they'll pop it up for you. It's the ability to endure and press forward amid hardships or adversity. This is actually a big deal. And without this little ingredient, in a sense, unseen ingredient, maybe to other people, you will have challenges and difficulties in this life. You know, as I was preparing for this message, I read online this story. It was a story of a Frenchman and an American and an Italian. And they actually decided they wanted to be spies. So they went to spy school, all right? Got trained in the whole thing, and then they got put out into the field. Well, unfortunately, about 2 months later, all three of them got captured. And they were put in a prison cell, and one by one, they were interrogated. So the Frenchman, they took him away first, tied him to a chair, and like 20 minutes later, he's singing. You know, he told them everything, you know, who his handlers were, and, you know, everything. And so he gets brought back to the cell, and then they take the American, do the same thing. So they tie him up, and they're interviewing him. Now, he was tougher. Us Americans, we're a little tougher. So it took 2 hours, but finally, he broke too and spilled all of his beans about everything. So finally, he gets brought back to the cell. So then they take the Italian and they tie him up in a chair and they interrogate him. And like the Frenchman and the American, they couldn't believe it. He's there for like not 2 hours, not 10 hours, 31 hours later. And they couldn't break him. And he comes back to the cell, right? And they put him in the cell. And the guy looks like a wreck, right? They've done all kinds of things to him, you know. And they're like, how did you endure 31 hours? What gave you the grit, the endurance to be able to do that? And he said, I couldn't talk because they tied my hands up. Remember, he was an Italian. Now, the thing is, in our lives, to have grit isn't an external thing. It's not being able to talk with your hands. It's an internal thing, a wherewithal that you're going to do it no matter what, all right? And so let's look at another definition to add to the definition I gave you. And here it is. It's a passion or an endurance and perseverance for long-term goals. Now, I want to say something. This isn't a talent or an ability. You know, sometimes we think, well, to be successful, we need to be talented or have giftings or abilities. Well, listen, that helps, doesn't it? But grit is something beyond that that you need to push through and be able to do this. So another word, and it's a real word. It's in the Webster's Dictionary, all right? I've used this before, and I love this word, all right? Now, you may not have heard it before. Listen to this word. Another word for grit is stick-to-itiveness. How many people have ever heard that word? Yeah, stick-to-itiveness. And actually, when you see it in the dictionary, it's actually stick-to-itiveness. So stick-to-itiveness. It's this big, long thing. But it's a real word, all right? And it means actually to stick to things, to be able to not give up or give in easily. And you and I need this today. And I'll say this to you, that we're living in a time and in a generation, a number of generations, where that stick-to-itiveness is not really part of our culture that we live in now. And the problem is that people are suffering as a result of not having that character trait. And so there was a movie that made me think about this whole true grit thing. How many people, True Grit, you remember the movie that came out? Now there's an earlier one, 1969, with John Wayne and Glenn Campbell, all right? And then in 2010, an upgraded one that had Matt Damon and Jeff Bridges. Now, I've seen them both, and they're both excellent. But even though they have the star power of those four guys in the two movies of True Grit, the real star was the 14-year-old girl. And the whole basis for the movie was this. You had a 14-year-old girl whose father had been murdered by this guy, this notorious guy, gunslinger. And then that guy had run away. And this girl basically went after him and went, you know, into whole different territories, you know, trying to chase after him. And so she hires, in the early movie, you know, it was John Wayne. In the second movie, it was Jeff Bridges, to go after this guy. And the thing is, they don't even want to bother. In the movie, they're kind of portrayed as, you know, drunkards and kind of lazy. And they're like, why do you want to do this kind of thing? And she keeps pushing them and pushing them. She's the one that really has the true grit in the movies. And to watch that, this 14-year-old girl, you know, avenge her father's death against all odds is really, if you've never seen the movies, either one of them, they're worth watching. It's kind of a wholesome, the good guys win, the bad guys die. It's really kind of good when it goes that way, right? But the thing is, true grit is something that girl had, that others around wanted to give up. They said, look, it's not worth the time. You know, why don't you just go back home and just carry on with your life? And she's like, no, this needs to be done. And the question is, where are you in the grit level in your life? It's a question that we have to ask each and every one of us, right? And so here's a scripture, Hebrews 10, verse 36. The writer of Hebrews says this, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, or grit, you could actually say, right? So that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So just look at this. Don't cast away your confidence. In other words, there is something that God has for you, right? And there's a reward connected to it. But for you to get the reward, you've got to what? Endure. You've got to have some grit. You've got to have some stick-to-itiveness, a willingness to maybe go through some difficult times and hard times to get to the promise, the reward that God has for you. Can you say amen to that? Now, or oh man, you might say, because here's the reality of it. You've got to push, and it's not going to be easy. There's a lady, it's a kind of a weird name. Her name is Angela Duckworth. Now, you can Google her. She's a real person. She's been studying grit for 20-plus years. That's what she does, believe it or not. And she has some very interesting statistics. They allowed her to go into West Point and study graduating students, as well as a whole bunch of inner-city schools down in New York City and a bunch of other schools around the country. And so as she studied them, she was looking at a lot of different criteria. She was looking at, you know, household income. you know, for the kids, you know, were they all looked after, you know, or were they from like inner city, you know, poor communities where they maybe got scholarships and those kinds of things. They were looking at whether or not they come from successful backgrounds, whether the families are successful, all those kind of demographics and all that. So here's what she concluded. It was really interesting to study. And again, you can look this up online. What she found was that all of those things, though they play a role in the students graduating, the greatest contributor to whether kids graduated or not, and this is whether West Point or inner city, is whether they had grit or endurance or stick-to-itiveness. It had nothing to do with talent or ability or giftings. In other words, those things were important, but those things alone weren't enough. This whole idea of the grit part, that endurance, to be able to push through, was actually the most important contributing factor. So look at your life for a minute. Just look back. Only you can do this, all right? So I'm not pointing my finger at anyone, but rather look back in your life and say, do I come from a gritty background or not? Now, I look at my family. I can only use my family as an example. And so I have five kids. Sandra and I have five kids. And our kids, I worked hard to provide gritty environments for them. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's not that we didn't give them things. We did. If you interview any of my kids and ask them whether they had a tough life, they might joke around at first and say yes, just to torment me. But they're going to say when it's all over, yeah, we had a pretty good life. If we needed something, we got it, all of that kind of thing. But for I'll give you an example. As they got older, they wanted a car, right? They, you know, every kid going back a generation wanted a car. Not so much anymore, but back then they did, all right? And so I'd say, okay, what do you need a car for? And they're like, well, I just want a car. I'm like, well, you need to have a purpose to have a car. Okay, well, then I should get a job then, right? Okay, you're gonna need a car for a job. Okay, that's great. So how are you going to get the money for the car so you can have the job? And they're like, I don't know. So then I'd say, well, okay, do you want to work? Yes. So we work through this whole thing. So long story short, they get the job. Sandra and I would drive them to their job, right, until they did what? So they made some money to do what? To buy the car. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, you got to have insurance. They're like, well, what's that? And you explain to them that you have to have insurance. Well, okay, that's this much more money. All right. So did we just hand them the money? Not in our family, we didn't. We're like, okay, then you're going to have to work a little more to get a little more insurance money. Now, that doesn't mean that we made them pay for everything. I'm just telling you that. But what we did was, they had to have some grit, some endurance, some perseverance to get that. So then we would help them as they needed to overcome the last little bits. But here's the thing. If you look at my five kids now, they're gritty kids. They're gritty adults. So what happens is for a lot of us, we didn't have that. And here's why. We have this mentality, and again, I had to deal with this, that good parents, because God is good and God gives us things, well, then we need to give stuff to our kids. Here's the problem. We're short-circuiting grittiness in their life. In other words, there needs to be a part where they need to have some effort into it, put something in themselves so that they rise up to the occasion. It pushes against them so they can push back. If you just hand everything to them, great, they've got all that right now. But what happens when you and I aren't here anymore? What are they going to do then? There's no mommy or daddy. There's no sugar daddy, sugar mommy, or sugar grandparents or whatever to look after them. So you build that into them as they're going through life when they're younger. And guess what? That'd be a good friend to them as they move in through life. So all of a sudden they get that job where it's maybe challenging or difficult. And instead of pressing in, they just quit. They're like, I just didn't like that job. And they just come home and just unemployed for 6 months or whatever. Well, the thing is, when you build grittiness into them, they're like, I hate this job. So it could be a bad job. You get what I'm saying? Whether you're gritty or not, but you stay at it till what? You can get a better job or a different job, and you move on to that rather than just giving up and quitting. And so each one of us have had different environments of growing up with a lot of grittiness or some grittiness or no grittiness at all. And that's not our fault. You know what I'm saying? It's just the environment. But here's the thing. Now that we're talking about it, you can come to a place of deciding, do I want to allow grittiness to be a part of my life? Amen? And that's you know, just look at me, smile, say, okay, yeah, I'm sort of getting this. And the thing is, this grittiness is so, so important. And can I tell you, that's why God doesn't just hand stuff to us sometimes. He wants to build that endurance into us. He wants to build that stick-to-itiveness into us, that we keep trusting Him and keep pressing into Him. See, I'm not telling you anything different than what God is telling us. In fact, Let's look at the scripture. Here's a great one for you. James 1, verses 2 to 4. Just look at this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Just look at this scripture. This is James, who had been, you know, walking with the Lord. He's saying, look, you're going to have tough times. You're going to have that word trials actually means testings. You're going to go through testings where you're going to be pushed back on, and you're going to have to push forward. You're going to have some grit. That's what it's saying, right? And so here's why you need the grit. Knowing that the testing of your faith, that grittiness in your life, produces what? Patience. In other words, endurance in your life, right? Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Grittiness is an important ingredient in your life so that you can be complete in Jesus. You know, God doesn't want quitters. You know what I'm saying? God doesn't. You know, now there's another message I'll do down the road somewhere, knowing when to quit. There's a time when you got to quit too. But today, it's about not quitting, all right? It's about having that grittiness and that perseverance to press in regardless of the obstacles before you, all right? And so what I want to, in a sense, leave you with today is 3 points on how we can develop some grit in our lives. Now, listen to me. I can't give you grit. In other words, I can't say, okay, everybody come forward and I pray for you, and Lord, I just pray I impart grit onto you. You can't. Grit is a character trait in your life. And what is character? Character is the sum total of your experiences and the decisions you make based on those experiences. That makes up who you are. And so grit is a character trait. So what I can suggest to you is a couple of avenues that you can do to help yourself grow in grit. So are you ready for these things, all right? So let's look at the first one. Here's the first one. Look for gritty people around you and in the Bible for inspiration. Do you know anybody that was not a quitter? You know what I'm saying? You know, it could be a relative, a friend, a coworker. It's just one of those people that maybe have had some stuff happen in their lives, but they didn't let that cause them to not keep pushing forward. Those are the people you need to talk to. Those are the people you need to come alongside and say, man, you know, what is it that gives you that stick-to-itiveness? You know, why didn't you give up when this and this and this happened? And let them tell you their story to inspire you to say, man, well, if they can do it, I can do it too. And we also have amazing biblical examples. There's one place in the Bible that you can check out. It's Hebrews chapter 11, the entire book, or the entire chapter in the book of Hebrews there. And what it is, it's called the Hall of Faith. But basically, what it is, it talks about all the some famous people, men and women in the Bible, that endured all kinds of hardships, but pressed through and got the reward, that got the promises that God had for them. And so you can be inspired by that, by the stories through the Word of God. But if you want a, you know, one of those quick synopsis, you know, punch in the arm kind of thing, Hebrews 11 will give that to you. It talks about people being sawed in two, talks about people overcoming, you know, living in caves, you know, and all kinds of being chased down. You know, the list goes on and on. Now, I'm not believing for anybody to be sawed in two, okay? But I'm just saying, those people didn't care what was going to happen, but they wanted to do what God had called them to do. And that's something else that I want to mention before I even move on. The importance that this isn't grit about you just doing what you want to do. This is the grit to do what God's called you to do. See, each one of us have a calling in the Lord. Each one of us have a purpose, a destiny, a destination in the Lord right here and right now in our lives that God wants to take us to. And the thing is, you can't just get it handed to you. The plan is revealed one step at a time, but it's going to take some grit, some endurance for you to get through to the other side. All right, so there's a scripture to go with this, all right? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And literally, that's what I'm saying, right? Look around at the people around you, and listen, maybe you've had some grit happen in your life where you've exhibited some stick-to-itiveness. Encourage someone else. You know, maybe you see they're having a tough time at it, whether at school or at work or at home, and you can come up and say, listen, you can do this. Let me pray with you. Let me encourage you. You know, this is what happened in my life, and I know you can do it too. You know, use this as an example to help others and also let others bless you as well. Amen? Okay. So let's move on to the next one. I like this one. Have micro grit moments. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes when we think of the, you know, have grit, we're thinking about, you know, career change or relationship change, you know, the big stuff. Well, here's the thing. You're not going to have the big grit moments unless you have the micro grit moments. What do I mean by that? Just the daily stuff. You know, there's a motto that a lot of people go by, you know, good enough is good enough. That's not a good motto to live by. How about this? Be better. Isn't that a better motto to live by? Well, gritty people be better. So, for example, I'll just use this for me. I'm at home, and I see that I'm sitting on the couch, and I see the garbage is, like, full, you know. And I'm like, in some days, I'm like, oh, I know I should do something about that. It would be a blessing to Sandra. I really should do it, right? And so, if you're not gritty that day, in my case, I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow, right? But what I do is try to treat that as a micro grit moment. I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. I just get up and I go and do it. And there is a micro grit moment where you push beyond your emotions and your feelings and what you felt like not doing and just doing it. So there's an example, right? And just little things, if you're married and with your spouse, you know, the kind of thing where you know you should do something and you're like, ah, just don't feel like it, you know. But the thing is, that's when you push through. Listen, being gritty usually means you're doing something isn't comfortable, you don't want to do, you don't feel like it. But that's when you push past it, that's where true grit shows in your life. And so I encourage you to begin, you know, the big things will come their way, all right? But begin to have micro grit moments where on a daily basis, you're just doing more than what you just have to do. And here's a scripture to support this, all right? Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. Whatever you do, whether you're taking the garbage out or helping your spouse, do work work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So literally, here's the scripture making it clear that whatever you do, whether you're working at a secular job or just helping your wife or your husband at home or going to school and just trying to get a good grade, everything that you're doing is supposed to be what? As work unto the Lord. So I don't think good enough fits into that category, right? It's always be better. That's how it needs to be. And so we have to have grit to do that. How many people at times in your life, you just don't feel like doing something, even though you know you should? Anybody out there? Thank you for being honest with me. You're in church, and I like your honesty, and that's good. I hope for some people at home lifted their hands as well. And that's the difference of being gritty or not gritty, making that decision to do what we need to do, even when we don't feel like it. And I'll tell you, long term, when you do those micro moments, long term, you will see a change in your life. In fact, you'll find that the major moments where you need big grit will be much easier because you've already taken a bunch of little steps. All right, let's go to our last one. And it's this, really important. Lean on the direction and strength of the Holy Spirit to help you in grit seasons. Well, what do I mean by a grit season? Well, listen, every moment of the day, you don't necessarily have to be gritty. You know what I'm saying? But there are times where persecution happens, difficulties happen in life, where you really need grit to be able to get through that season, that transitional time in your life or in the lives of someone around you. And so what you need to do is ask God to help you. You are not alone in this. Even though God can't give you grit, isn't it good to know that you've got someone that is right there? The Bible says, someone that sticks closer than a brother to you, that is beside you and encourage you, that's a life-changing thing. When you feel like you're all alone, I'll tell you, it's easy to just turn around and say, I quit. But when you know Jesus is with you, it changes everything. And here's a scripture to support that. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That word dismayed literally means not give up. In other words, don't give up. I'll strengthen you. And that word strengthen means both in your physical and mental capacities. He will be there to help you, and you will be able to get through and be gritty for him. And not only just for him, for you. You know, the title of this time together, this sermon, is Increasing Your Grit for Success. You know, just like that lady, Angela Duckworth, found, was that people who had grit graduated on a much higher percentage than those that didn't have grit and moved on to successful lives as a result of it later. And so I can't encourage you enough to allow grit, that character part, new character of grit to become more of not just a hidden ingredient, but a major ingredient in your life, and it will be life-changing for you. Amen? Let's stand together. And just as we're closing out our time together this morning, I just want to ask you this question. You know, where are you on the gritty scale? And only you can answer that. But here's what I will tell you, that regardless of your experiences and your background and all those kinds of things, the Lord is here right now to help you. The Lord is here right now. And if you're willing to ask Him for help in this, I can promise you a couple of things. You're going to have some gritty trials and testings will come your way. Not to crush you, not to put you down, not to push you back, not to cause you to want to give up, but rather to cause you to bear down and endure, to have a stick-to-itiveness that maybe you haven't had in the past. Lord God, right now I lift up every individual here. And Lord, I have to believe that each one of us at different times, at different stages in our lives, deal with grit issues. We deal with endurance issues. We deal with this stick-to-itiveness thing where we just want to give up. Sometimes it could be a hormonal reason, a chemical reason, Lord God. Circumstances. The list goes on and on of the different things that happen. Circumstances. But Lord God, all I know is this, that You will never leave us and You will never forsake us. You were always there. And so Lord, I pray that this word was a word of encouragement, that truly that grit and grittiness and stick-to-itiveness and endurance and perseverance will become the new norms in our life. Because I believe, Lord, that we need this for this coming year. Not that bad things are going to happen. I don't have any sense of that at all. But for all the good things that You have for us, we need this. So, Father, I speak a blessing upon Your people, both those here and those watching online. And I pray that grittiness, that ability to endure, would just be a greater attribute, a greater character trait in our lives from this day forward, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey guys, thank you for showing up. If you have any prayer needs, we want to pray with you right here, right now. Love to do that. I know they got some goodies out there. Hang out for a while. Have some snacks with us. God bless you.